It's episode 256. That's 256 of the Kaiju Podcast. Welcome, one and all. I am your host, Chad O'Brien, and I'm kind of suffering a little bit. I got a little bit of a stuff in my nose and sore throat, and so I apologize if my voice sounds somewhat strange, but here to help me with some of the speaking duties is Jason Gibson.
Hey, yo.
And, yeah, it's been weird this week because we've had, well, not, this week it's been consistently rain, but, like, before that it was hot and cold and hot and cold and,
it's weird weather, but, like, consistently weird because it does this every year. It doesn't really, like, ease into fall and winter like it did when I was little. Like, it just sort of, like, switches back and forth. Like, it's like somebody's upstairs just, like, flipping the light switch on and off.
To be fair, when you were little, you weren't in Japan, but...
That's true. So I don't know what it was like in Japan, you know, 25 years ago.
That's right. But the hilarious thing is, like, the Japanese people will tell you with great pride whenever they do that Japan is the only country in the world with four distinct seasons.
Oh, yes.
I will contend that is not true. It has summer and then weirdy in between and then winter, and that's it.
I feel like there's a spring in there for like, okay, two weeks.
Yeah.
There's like 2 weeks of spring in there somewhere. But yeah, the summer to winter thing, it just sort of switches back and forth. Not a lot of fall going on.
Yeah, we had days of, what, it was like 25, even up to the 30s, and then it would swap out for 11s, and I forget, I have already forgotten my Fahrenheit table, so I apologize to anybody who still uses that archaic system.
That's like 50-ish, I think, an 11?
For the 11s, yeah. For the 50s, probably, or for the 25, I don't know.
Like
upper 80s?
Around 80-ish. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so anyway, hot and cold and hot and cold, and that wreaks havoc on the body. And it doesn't help that, like, Japan doesn't know how to, like, react to it, so you'll get the 11-degree temperatures outside, which is, again, super cold, but then you step onto the train and they've got the heaters going full blast, but, you know, like, of course you kind of have to, but... It's
full of people, so it's kind of hot anyways.
It's full of people who are already getting sick, and, like, the windows are closed, and, like, the train pulls into the station, and you just see every window completely fogged. and you just know it's a petri dish in there. Like,
And then you go to school, and they're like, well, it's not winter yet, so we can't use the heaters.
That's right. It's a lot of fun. But with that in mind, we've also got a typhoon bearing down on us.
yes and no.
There is a
typhoon, but by the time it gets here, will it really be a typhoon anymore?
At the very least, it will mean an increase in rain. Like right now, the rain the entire week, the rain has been fine because it's a light drizzle. It's not going to impede like you're
England.
Walking.
Chris feels right at home.
I wouldn't know. But yeah, it's been nice. Like I love that kind of rain. Don't really need an umbrella, but you can use one if you want, it's fine. But yeah, once the typhoon, even if in its degraded state, once that gets here, then yeah, we're gonna have problems. I've already stocked up on food for tomorrow, just in case.
Just in case, what, there's a run in the supermarket?
No, I mean, I don't cook at home. We've talked about this. I don't cook anything at home. So, rather than having to go out in the middle of the heavy rain and get something, then...
I forgot. You melt in water.
That's right, I do. Yes. It's a trait given down to me by my great-great-grandmother... whatever her face, the witch. I believe that, that's a very, that name was pretty common in that particular region. But
Witch?
No, Witch? No, whatever her face.
Whatever her face. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I know that name. Sure.
Yeah. You had, yeah, I believe the two most popular names in that region were Glinda and whatever her face. I even watched Wicked, and I forget what her name was in that, so...
Elphaba.
There you go, that's it, yeah.
From L. Frank Baum, the author.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Yes,
okay. Wait, was it L. Frank, you mean Frank L. Baum?
No, it was L. Frank Baum, wasn't it?
Was it?
L. Frank Baum, and okay. So her name was Elphaba.
Okay, yeah, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I thought it was Frank L. Baum. But yeah, Frank could work as both a first name and middle name. And yeah, so like I said, I'm ill, and that's why I'm letting Jason drag me down these tangents that are going nowhere, when instead we could be talking about video games.
Jeez. What are you doing, Chad? Come on, get it together.
I'm sorry. Trying to be a host here, but it's not working too well. Anyway, yeah. Games are pretty cool, right? When you're sick and it's rainy outside, you want to stay in, play games. That's what I've been doing this week, because I did have to take off one day of work, and well, it sucked because I had to go to the hospital. Not to worry anybody, going to the hospital just means, you know, I had to go there to get my drugs, but...
It's more accurate to say you went to the clinic,
I think, isn't it? I went to the actual hospital because that's the closest medical care facility to me, so...
Ah.
Yeah. I saw the doctor there. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, after I got back, I got to play games. And, yeah, I had a good time, and it was a scary time, because it was mostly Evil Within 2. And we'll talk more about that later on, because there's some new stuff I want to talk about that I didn't talk about last week. Anyway, let's talk about games that aren't coming out anymore. One game in particular. That's
yeah.
That is the official sound of a canceled game, or a game that's left in indefinite limbo. And we have EA to thank for basically tabling the Star Wars project that was being handled by Visceral Games. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but shuttering the studio itself. They are closing down Visceral Studios, which is most well known for the Dead Space series. But they also did Battlefield Hardline, I believe, and some other stuff. But yeah, mostly Dead Space, at least recently. They also did like Tiger Woods games back in the day.
Yay!
Yeah. Visceral Entertainment. Tiger Woods. That's right. Yeah. Back in the days before, like, Visceral was just a buzzword of people put in their press releases.
Well, I mean, there was a point where Tiger Woods went pretty visceral.
That's true. Anyway, we have heard from EA this week that they're closing down the studios. And the whole reason behind it was, he was being very vague.
Vague.
I can't say V's and B's with this cold, man. It's hard.
Just lump it all together. Very vague.
Very vague. Very vague. But that could also be like very big.
Sure.
Yeah. Or very vague. No.
It'll all come out in the wash.
Sure. Anyway, so Peter Sutherland, president of EA, president CEO, I'm not sure. Anyway, he said that basically the game. This is so weird the way he said it. Like, the game was shaping up to be a first person. Narrative-driven story, and, like, he said that in a way that, well, I mean, he didn't say it, it was all written, but just the choice of words makes it seem like this is the reason it was shut down, why the project was shut down, and why the studio was shut down. But that is a terrible reason to cancel a game. That is exactly what we wanted out of this game. So, well, it's what I wanted out of the game. I don't know about you.
I mean, I kind of wanted another KOTOR, but that's probably not what we would have gotten. It would have been closer to KOTOR than whatever the hell they're going to turn it into now, to be honest. They're going to, I think they, was it, I can't know whether it was speculation or there was actually hard evidence that they were saying it was basically going to be turned into a Destiny clone or something like that. I don't know. I heard some rumors about that, but yeah, no, I just want another KOTOR personally. That's what I want.
Who made KOTOR?
BioWare.
Okay, well, that's never coming out again. So, yeah, I believe EA's deal with Disney. I think it was Disney themselves, but anyway, their deal with the Star Wars license is that they have 10 years, and that was 3 years ago, I believe. Mm. So, yeah, you're not likely to see another KOTOR anytime soon. So, they said that, here's the actual statement. Throughout the development process, in its current form, it was shaping up to be a story-based linear adventure game. Throughout the development process, we have been testing the game concept with players, listening to the feedback about what and how they want to play, and closely tracking fundamental shifts in the marketplace. It has become clear that to deliver an experience that players will want to come back to and enjoy for a long time to come, we needed to pivot the design. So that is, like, this last sentence in particular, where they want people to come back for a long time, is where people are picking up this Destiny vibe. Or at the very least, just games of service. Games as service. That is because, like, the single-player narrative game on the whole is actually kind of suffering at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, like, what's come out recently as single-player narrative games? Like, Dragon Age, I guess? We haven't seen a Dragon Age in a couple of years.
Well, there are plenty of single-player games that have come out, like, even this year. And, like, amazing ones. Nier, Neo, Horizon... was Gravity Rush this year?
That's a good question. I can't say.
Yeah, but that wasn't like spectacular, but it was still pretty good. Just a whole bunch of good games have come out, but the problem is they aren't doing as well as these games of service. Like we talked about last week with Activision Blizzard making just oodles of money off of Overwatch in the fiscal year, because it's not even a narrative game, but as games,
it's gambling. They're making money off of gambling.
But like, beyond the core content of the game itself, people are still putting money in. So you buy a $60 game and you're still putting money in afterwards. And that's what EA wants, basically.
They want revenue stream. They don't necessarily, I don't think they even really care about the review as long as the revenue stream is there, right? So, I mean, I guess at this point it's a question of, do you want to spend equal money on making an incredibly good single player experience that gets 90s on all the gaming on the Metacritic and that stuff, and it's really great and everybody loves it, but you only buy it once? Or do you want to put the same amount in on a game containing microtransactions that gets 70s and people like it okay, but the revenue stream is much bigger?
I'm upset. Like, I've been looking forward to this Star Wars game ever since, like, it was announced as Star Wars 1313, where you don't play as a Jedi. You play as just a dude in the Star Wars world. Like, I'm tired of playing Jedis. I don't want to play Jedis anymore.
Well, I mean, if you don't want to play Jedi, you could have played Star Wars Galaxy. Or was it, it was the Old Republic, the MMO, right? You don't have to be a Jedi in the MMO.
Yeah, but that's an MMO, and that leads to a whole another patch of issues.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say I don't like playing as Jedis. Like, even recently, I was one of the few who enjoyed The Force Unleashed. Force Unleashed 2, I will agree with everyone. That was just awful. But The Force Unleashed was enjoyable for me. I liked that one. I wanted more Star Wars that wasn't Battlefront.
And Lego.
And Lego. But EA did say that they're moving the project to EA Vancouver, but in that same report where he talks about the testing and everything, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he said something about where they had been kind of aiming for a 2018 release, but that was not looking at all likely. So, especially considering they're going to retool the whole thing, we could be looking at 2019 or even 2020 for this thing, and yeah, that's upsetting. They've also moved it to EA Vancouver or EA Canada, which is another really weird decision because EA Vancouver is basically the sports team. They make the NHL games, NBA Live, FIFA. That's their thing. So, what are we looking at here?
We're getting Star Wars Soccer.
That's right. Yeah, you use the Force to push it in the goal.
Force Soccer. It's not Shaolin Soccer. It's Jedi Soccer.
Wait, let me pitch this to you. So you've got teams of three on each side, and in the middle, a gigantic ball is released from the sky, and you're in like a dome shaped field, and your Jedi like run around on all fours. They don't use any actual powers, but they like bump the ball with their heads and try to knock it into the goal.
Oh my god! I think you've invented Rocket League, Chad. Right.
Dang! Was it that obvious? Had to retool a bit more. Look at more market research.
You could keep the teams of three, and keep the circular arena, but make it sort of 2D-ish. And like really differentiate all the different Jedi, so they all have different powers. Like some of them are fast and can jump, and some of them are slow and really strong. And you have to throw the ball into the opposing guy's goal, which is a fountain of Force energy.
Mm. Or you can Jedi mind trick them into throwing it into their own goal.
I was going for a pyre reference. I thought you'd get that, Jed.
I'm sick, so. Honestly, I was just more amazed that you were actually like continuing on with the really, really, really bad joke that I was doing, and making it worse. But anyway,
it's my job.
That's your job. That's what we pay you the big bucks for. But the people at Visceral will no longer be being paid the bucks, big or otherwise, and we feel for them. Now, EA has said that they're going to try to move people around to different studios, obviously a studio like Visceral being shut down is a pretty big deal. Of course, EA was not so much recently, but maybe like 10 years ago or so, it was known as just the company that would buy up development studios pretty much just so it could shut them down. I'm not the history guy, so I would probably come up with the wrong names or wrong examples, but it seemed like every few months, maybe a decade or so ago, every few months you'd hear EA bought another studio, and then, like, about half a year later, EA shuttering the studio. So,
Is that what happened to BioWare? Oh, no, they got bought by Activision, didn't they?
BioWare is still part of EA. What are you talking about?
Is it still part of EA? No, because... I don't know, because you were saying stuff about... never mind. Whatever.
Yeah, you're never gonna see another KOTOR and
yeah.
stuff like that. Yeah. No, I mean, you just never will. So,
don't crush my hopes, Chad.
Let
me have this, Chad.
That's my entire job is crushing dreams.
That's your title, right? It's on your business card, Chad, Crusher of Hopes and Dreams.
It's not. It will be in the next version, I'm sure. But okay. Yeah. BioWare is still part of EA, as far as I know. I mean, they're making Anthem now, so. And I'm looking forward to that, but that seems to have more in line with Destiny than anything else.
Yep.
Well, that's that. It's sad. So, but that's pretty much like all the news that's come out this week. It's a pretty slow week.
Yeah, nothing of import really.
Yeah. Yeah, not too much going on. So, or at least nothing that will have any legs to become anything serious. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But so we're going to instead go on to games.
Yay.
How about we do that?
Sure.
So,
I have one this week. You have what? Two? Three?
I mean, I've got one new one, but I want to touch base with Evil Within. So, last week I had basically just gotten to the open world area. So I'd done a couple of things there, but hadn't really explored it. So I couldn't really fully comment. I am taking that game far more slowly than I probably should. Or at least that's how it feels. Like I spent several nights still in chapter 3, and then just through looking around online, I saw references to at least like a chapter 11, but I don't know if there's anything after that. But I've got a lot of chapters ahead, and I'm on chapter 3 for a long time, or I was. I got to chapter 4 finally. Anyway, the open world, I have to say, makes that game just absolutely amazing in terms of like being a horror game. Because, you know, like a lot of horror is just an overall linear experience, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can tell your story, you can have your very timed jump scares and things like that, and it works. But here you have, I mean, these are all pre-programmed as well, but there's more of an element of surprise to it when you're wandering down a dark and spooky street, and the street light casts a shadow on just a corpse in the middle of the ground. But you know, if you approach that corpse, something is going to happen. So you're like, okay, instead, I'll go off on this dark, spooky path that, like, goes through the trees and bushes. Nothing can happen there, right? Yeah, wrong. Okay, fine. I'll go to the left path, because that goes, like, behind houses and in backyards and over fences and stuff like that, so I'll have cover. But yeah, then there are things lurking in the grass over there. So there are things everywhere, and it's frightening as hell. It's brilliant. Sometimes you can actually go into houses, sometimes they have things that you want, and sometimes they have unholy abominations that are trying to gut you, and that's great. We kind of touched on this last week, but the whole premise of the game is that you entered something called the Stem, which is where they have a shared mind, basically, and they all link around this one mind called the Core. But basically that means you are in somebody's mind, and that means they can do all kinds of weird twisted stuff, and they also like warp it around technology such that the fast travel, there is like a fast travel system available. You find these computer consoles and you start typing around, and like the world just sorts of disappears, and you go and you go into like this interstitial world where everything is fuzzy and gray, and then you transfer into what they call the Marrow, which is a whole new location, but it's basically like an extra spatial link from one area of the projected city to another area. So, I talked about how the city is actually literally breaking apart, where, you know, they're floating chunks of the city above your head and stuff like that. But it's like, oh, you have to get to City Hall. So, don't worry, the Marrow still works. You have to go into the Marrow to get to the City Hall. And it's pretty neat doing that. It's also very tense. I'm finding myself very low on supplies. But at the same time, I want to try to kill everything, because that's the way you get better abilities and thus can more easily handle yourself. It's fun and terrifying and great. So,
sounds cool. I kind of wish I could play it, but no, wait a minute, it's on PC. I could play it if I had time, but I don't have the time, unfortunately.
Play with your kids. No.
Yeah. Let's get the one-year-old to play Evil Within. I'm sure he would love it.
Yeah.
I played Heat Signature this week, which is a sort of newish indie release. It's like on the surface, like the graphically is kind of similar to FTL. A little bit, although the gameplay is nothing like it. The gameplay is much more kind of roguelike-y. Although, I mean, FTL is somewhat of a roguelike. It's kind of like a space combat simulator type thing. This one is much more like roguelike-y, where you go into like sort of dungeon-y type stuff, but it's all procedurally generated. Anyways, so the basic gist of the game is like, you play through this little tutorial thing that teaches you the mechanics and gives you a little bit of story. I haven't really quite figured out everything, but I guess you're some sort of rebel against like the Galactic Alliance of space stations or something. I don't know. And
sounds
so,
about right.
Yeah, basically. And so like you have your one space station that's like a rebel space station. And then like by doing different missions and stuff, like you can build up rebel sentiment, and then you can sort of like expand your operations. You can recruit other space stations to be in your alliance or rebel, whatever you want to call it. That doesn't really give you anything except for like it unlocks different things from the store. It's basically their version of how you get permanent unlocks in your roguelike. So, like, one of the space stations I unlocked gave me, like, armor-piercing swords. And one of them gave me, like, a kind of hacking tool for computers that'll now appear in the stores and stuff. So that's what you do with the story, I guess, if you want to call it a story. The basic gameplay is, like, you have, like, a bar in your space station, and there's four people sitting at the bar, and you pick one of them. You can mouse over any of them, and they tell you, like, this is their name, this is their starting equipment, and this is their, you know, their life's mission. Like, rescue my wife from the evil empire, or kill this officer because he screwed me over, or, you know, break somebody out of prison or something like that. So you pick a person, and then you go talk to the person who was in the tutorial, who is like your contact, and they tell you, okay, give me $200 and I'll give you the information to get your personal mission done. So you have to go run a bunch of other missions to get the money to give to the person, so they'll give you the information so you can do your personal mission, and you basically just sort of do that over and over again until you have to like generate the rebel sentiment to make your thing bigger. I haven't gotten terribly far in the game, so I don't know if the gameplay changes much. But basically what you do is you accept a mission. You can like get missions to like steal something off a ship or hijack the ship itself or kill a certain person on a ship or abduct a person off the ship without killing them. Once you accept the mission, you can leave the space station. Well, you can buy things in the space station, your things to get ready for the mission. You leave the space station, and then it sort of opens up into a big, like, 2D galaxy map and gives you a pointer to the ship you need to chase down. You chase down the ship, and you'll sort of come up on the ship. You'll approach it, and then you have to sort of guide your spacecraft to dock with an airlock on the ship, which can be kind of tricky. Because of the way the physics work in the game. And then once you dock with the ship, it's a procedurally generated ship inside with like guards and various gun turrets and things that you have to navigate your way through to get to your objective. It is kind of fun. I did enjoy it, but I have this feeling it's going to get really, really samey, really, really fast. I only put a few hours into it, and pretty much every ship I broke onto was the same routine. With a few minor variations, like you have pods of guards, and each pod will have four or five guards in it. And every 5 seconds or so, one guard will sort of walk off and go mess with a computer terminal and then come back to his pod of guards. And then like 5 seconds later, another guard, a different one, will walk off and go find maybe the same terminal, maybe a different one. There's a bunch of different terminals in each pod's area, and then he'll come back. So basically what I did is whenever that happens, you could take out that guard, and then you wait another 5 seconds, and then you take out the next guard, then you wait another 5 seconds, and then you take out the next guard. And that seems to be pretty much the whole gameplay. Now, that is kind of interesting. It gets a bit more interesting because the guards get different abilities. Like, some of them have shields, so you have to have a special shield disruptor to kill the guy. Some of them have, like, an instant teleporter, so if they see you, they'll instantly teleport next to you. Some of them have armor, so you have to have armor-piercing weapons and stuff like that. But as far as I've gotten into it, which admittedly, again, is not terribly far, the gameplay seems to not change that much. Go ahead.
In terms of gameplay itself, though, like how are you going about this? Is this like first person stealth, or
it's top down? It's kind of stealthy. It's a top down, kind of like the old classic GTAs, like GTA 1 and GTA 2. Mm. Do you remember those?
I remember them. I never played them, but I do know. Yeah,
but you kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it looks kind of like FTL.
Okay,
right, where you have that sort of top down overview of the ship, and it's like the roof is cut away, and you can see all the whole ship and the different rooms and the walls and stuff, and you're just looking straight down on your character and the enemies and stuff.
So like Hotline Miami or something like that.
Yeah, well. Basically, yeah. Something like that. And at any point in the game, you can pause the game. And so you can sort of like get your bearings and figure out what you're going to do to get rid of the people that are around you. And while you're paused, you can aim, you can switch weapons freely as much as you want. Weapons do have a cooldown. So what you could do, like if you see a pod of like four guards, instead of waiting for them to peel off one by one, maybe your mission has a time limit. Some of them do, so you can't wait for that. So what you do is like you have like four different weapons. You have like a long sword, a short sword, a gun, and like a pistol and a shotgun. So you can sort of like get your long sword out, because your long sword gives you like a big charge move. You get your long sword out, you charge in there, then whip out your short sword, kill another guy. Though both of those weapons are on cooldown now, so then you pause it, you swap out your swords for guns, and then use your pistol to take out the guy on your right and your shotgun to take out the guy on your left. And voila. It's kind of fun. But like I said, it gets really samey after a while of doing that. You kill some guards until you find the level 1 key, and then you kill some guards, you find the level 2 key, and then however big the ship is to get to your objective at the other end is how many keys you need to find. It's based around the ship. You can find like cargo containers that'll give you different items that might help you, like hacking things or electronic disabling devices or new weapons, or maybe like a cloaking device or a shield or whatnot that you can find. But again, like it's just you do missions over and over again until you reach some greater goal that I haven't quite figured out yet. It's enjoyable for a roguelike. I don't think it's like super fantastic, but I'll probably play some more of it. I like it. I like roguelikes, and this is a pretty decent take on it. It's got some interesting ideas. I just don't know how much legs it's going to have, really.
Sure. Now, I'm kind of curious, since it is, like, in space, does it do anything interesting with that? Like you're always talking about, like, you're going through the ship from room to room. Can you ever, like, land on the ship itself or anything like that? Or is it just, like...
No, because it's completely 2D. Like, so you can only fly around the ship. Now, what you can do sometimes, like, if you dock with the ship, some ships will be bigger and have more than one airlock, but maybe some of them are locked. You need, like, a key card. So there was one ship I was on earlier today where I found the only open docking port. I got in there and I got the level one key card. But all these guards had personal shields, and I only had limited amounts of shield disabling charges on my tools. So to get to the level two key card, there was a bunch of guards around. But what I could do was go back into my little ship and sort of fly around to the other airlock, and which was now open because I got the level one key card, and sort of bypass a bunch of guards to get to the level two key card and then get that and then come back around to the original airlock and sort of keep going. So you can do roundabouts sort of like that. There are different missions where, like, maybe you take a really super dangerous mission that's in a war zone. So the ship is under, like, missile attack and parts of it will explode and you might get sucked into space, which actually is kind of funny. If you get shot or knocked out at any point, you don't really ever die unless you get thrown into space and asphyxiate, basically. If you get shot, you turn unconscious and then they pick you up and throw you out the airlock. That's what happened. And then you go into the pause menu and push remote pilot on your ship, and you have to remotely pilot your ship to pick yourself up from space before you die from, not being able to breathe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. And it's a way that you can sort of, like, continue your mission. Like, if you fuck up on a mission and they throw you at the airlock, you can, you know, pick yourself up and sort of try and sneak back in. But quite often what happens is you set off an alarm when you get caught like that, and then you have a limited amount of time to finish the mission before you fail the mission. So, like, you might have, like, 60 seconds left. So they throw you at the airlock and you got 60 seconds to pick yourself up and then go hook back up in the airlock and then try to finish the mission. And if you're still on the ship when the alarm ends, then that character gets captured. And this is kind of cool. The next person who takes that person's spot at the bar will have a mission to rescue the person that just got captured. That's their life's mission. And then if you do that, then you can go back and finish the life's mission of the person that originally got captured.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Very, very cool. Right. So, last game that I have played is Shadow of War, or full title, Middle Earth Shadow of War, just so you don't get it confused with, I don't know, Canada Shadow of War, or, or I don't know, My Little Pony Land Shadow of War. whatever that place is called.
Shadow of Pony War.
Shadow of Pony War. The four ponies of the apocalypse. Right, so, we talked about this game kind of, sort of, in the last podcast, because it's a hot topic because of loot boxes, and kind of tying in with our topic for today, because it is a single-player, narrative-based, like, adventure, but it also has loot boxes, so there is a games as service element to it. Anyway, I'm not going to really talk about that because there are loot boxes in it. I don't really care. I don't buy them, so I don't need to worry about it. The game itself, I have to say that I really wish this were just not a Middle Earth game, because I understand, like, you know, if they use orcs and, like, if they use too much stuff, then like, it would very obviously run into copyright issues. But they took the Middle Earth, like, canon and basically just, I don't know, threw it into a tiger's den after slathering every page in bloody red meat. like, the thing that came out at the very end is just, it's so, I don't know, it's a patchwork story. So, this isn't spoilers or anything, this is like the setup for the game. I can't even remember everything that happened in the first game, because that one also went, like, completely off the rails. But, so you are Talion, a ranger from the Blackgate, and the Blackgate was attacked by the forces of Mordor, and everyone there was killed. But for some reason, instead of dying, your body was attracted the soul of Celebrimbor, the elf who forged the Rings of Power, in the canon.
The Silmarillion.
That's right, in the Silmarillion, the stories of the rings and everything like that. Anyway, Celebrimbor basically gets fused to your body, and thus you are one body with two souls. And then some stuff happened, and you fought some dudes, and you survived. So, in Shadow of War, you're beginning, you begin by confronting Shelob, the spider.
Did she die?
This is before the Lord of the Rings ever happened. This is before The Hobbit. Yeah. So yeah, Shelob is still very much alive, but they actually gave Shelob, like, a character.
Does she have a voice? Does she speak?
She has a voice. Canonically, she could kind of talk, or at least she could understand speech, because Gollum did negotiate with her, in the story to, like, not be eaten, because he promised he would bring her better food. But the egregious thing here is Shelob takes on the form of a woman.
What?
She is the spider, and then she's like, foo, 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 and she transforms into a woman. A woman in a long black dress, and she just starts talking to you, and she's like, we need to defeat Sauron, and, like, he's kind of encroaching on my lands, these are my mountains, so we need to push him back. And somehow she ends up with the special ring that Celebrimbor had made after the One Ring, because that ring was it was basically tarnished by Sauron's energy, so he made a new ring that was pure with his own energy, but then Shelob gets that ring. So the whole story is that, like, you need to get it back, or at least Celebrimbor wants to get it back. Talion wants to save Gondor, which is under, like, this ultimate siege by the orcs of Mordor. So, like, you have this kind of annoying back and forth between the two of them, because you'll hear Celebrimbor saying, we need to get the ring back. And then Talion comes back with, but only after we save Gondor. And then later Talion will say, we must save Gondor. And Celebrimbor will answer, but we need the ring to do it. And it's like, they're constantly saying, like, we need to do both. And it's like, I get it, guys. Calm down. Anyway, so, like, back to Shelob. Like, she becomes this human form, and she's like, I gotta push back Sauron, and you guys are gonna help me. And it's like, wait. So this is, like, I'm gonna nerd out for a bit here, but Shelob has no personality in the canon of the story. We don't even know, really, like, where she comes from. She's a child of Ungoliant, who was the first spider. But we don't know about like her early history. At one point, she just moves into Cirith Ungol, and she's like, okay, I'm here now. And she just starts eating things. And she likes to eat, so she eats some more. And she makes some webs, because that way she can trap things to eat. And then, like, Sauron moves in, and he kind of leaves her alone, because his castle is, like, right next to her home, and, like, she's got this entryway to his castle, but, like, she doesn't care. She's just happy eating. And so she acts as kind of, like, a guard without really knowing about it or caring. So she's just a spider. She just lives there and eats. And, yeah, so they're making her into, like, this crafty, like, sort of deity version of, like, on Sauron's level, which is just ridiculous. Which is why I say I wish this really wasn't just Shadow of or Middle Earth. If it was just like, you know, fantasy story, Shadow of War, then
but then it wouldn't sell.
Yeah, of course. Okay, that aside, like, the gameplay has not changed too much from the first one, so in that sense, it's very much like the Batman Arkham games. You wander around, you have kind of a stealth version, you can sneak around and hunt people down, as you're wandering around, there are orcs literally everywhere, just everywhere. And so, like, it's kind of weird because I'm someone who likes to play stealthy, and at some point, like, you realize you just can't. If you're gonna get anywhere, you just need to start running through crowds. And it becomes not a big issue because by the time you run through a crowd, people will, like, their awareness indicators will go like, huh? Ooh. They turn around and, like, you're already gone, and they're like, it's the ranger! You're just gone. Run through town and go through just scores and hundreds and thousands of orcs. Go from one storyline to the other. Now, right from the start, you can open up these fast travel points, which is really nice. And also, right from the start, they dump just a whole bunch of different stuff on you. And it can seem kind of overwhelming, because not only do you have collectibles to get, but there are certain little side quests and stories. Like, you can collect memories of Shelob and, like, kind of figure out her past. Or you can do Celebrimbor's stories, which will unlock various skills for you. Or you can just engage in wholesale orc slaughter. It's completely your choice. And for a while, that's what I did. I chose option C. Because I just wanted to have fun and kill lots of orcs. One of the chief elements of the game that people probably already know is the Nemesis system. So in the game, there are, you know, there's all kinds of just grunt orcs, which are fine. But there are also captains who lead these orcs. And then it goes up, there's war chiefs and then overlords, which I haven't gotten that far yet. I think the highest I've gotten is War Chief. You kill these captains, and it kind of demoralizes their troops. But while you're fighting, especially depending on where you are, if you're in an outpost, like, I was in one outpost fighting people, and they managed to set off an alarm that basically made for endless reinforcements. So I was fighting just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of orcs. And I was doing okay for a while. Eventually it kind of gets on you. They wear you out. And that's the whole point of, like, being able to run away faster than the orcs, if you want to. But, somebody managed to kill me finally. And when a grunt manages to kill you, he gets a promotion and becomes a captain. And then there are things in the game where, based on, like, how many times you kill certain orcs, because they can come back, depending on the severity of their damage, how many times you kill them or they kill you, they can become your nemesis. So they'll basically kind of power up, and they'll grow stronger as you do. So the first guy who killed me, it was great. His name was Crackhorn. And
was his first name Jimmy?
That's yeah. it was actually kind of hilarious to me because I was like, okay, yeah, same joke, Jimmy Crackhorn. anyway, he became Crackhorn the Tark Slayer. I forget why you're known as a Tark. I think it just means ranger in their language. But anyway, yeah, he became Crackhorn the Tark Slayer, but then immediately, like, I went back to where he lived, and I found him, and I cleaved him in half, and I was happy about that. But as I was wandering around, suddenly, like, he popped back up, and I was kind of surprised because I chopped him in half, and I thought that was pretty definitive, but he had this metal brace around his entire waist, and he says, Ranger, you thought you got rid of me, but I've come back as the Machine. And it changes his name.
They literally stapled him together.
That's right, yeah. So, like, it was great. Like, the name changes. It's like Crackhorn the Tark Slayer, and it, like, slashes out the Tark Slayer, and it becomes Crackhorn the Machine. And then, like, I killed him again, and this time, like, it was pretty gruesome. Like, I chopped off both of his arms and just, like, left him bleeding. And then he comes back again, and he's got, like, these metal attachments for his arms. So he's just like, the flesh can always be removed, but you can never destroy the Machine.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. And they really, like, ramped up just, like, how many of these encounters you'll get, or, like, the kinds you'll get. So, I was wandering through the city, and I came across a captain, and I was just like, I'll just take him out. Why not? And so I was just peering down on him from above. I was going to do a stealth kill from above, and suddenly, like, my legs get swept out from underneath me, and this captain just, like, suddenly shoves himself in my face, and he's like, ah, I gotcha. You fell for my trap. And I was like, are you crazy? They're setting up traps now, like other captains as bait. And then another orc came around the corner, and he goes, ah, you mind if I join the party too? And I was like, oh, great, three captains. I'm out of here. I start running, and Ranger, it's me again. And there goes Crackhorn the Machine. Yeah, it's crazy. And moreover than that, like, one of the biggest surprises for me, I'm not gonna count this as a spoiler because, everybody knew there was this thing about importing your nemesis from the last game, Shadow of Mordor, into this game, Shadow of War. But I didn't do that. So I figured, okay, that nemesis is gone forever. But, no. He comes back. And I was even trying to remember, like, what was his name? It was something the poet. And then, like, as I'm fighting some random people, I hear, Rook Duke, Rook Duke, Rook Duke. And sure enough, like, out of this, like, corridor, here comes Rook Duke the Poet. And he's like, surprised to see me, Ranger. And I was like, yes, I am. Yeah, he was my nemesis from the first game. And
how did he get in there if you didn't import him, though?
I'm sure it has something to do with, like, it could be reading my save files, or maybe the information was uploaded to the WB Play, whatever. I don't know, but it did, and he was there, and I was happy. It made me smile a lot. So yeah, Krakorn the Machine and Rukdug the poet.
Nice.
Yeah. But still one of my favorite orcs whenever I find one is just any guy named Douche. Because yeah, whenever a named orc is doing particularly well, like his followers will just like chant their name. So like if you find an orc named Douche, they'll just go Douche, Douche, Douche.
Wait. There are orcs named Douche?
Yeah, it's like D-U-S-H-E, Douche.
But they say Douche.
Yeah, they say Douche.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah.
That's awesome.
This is totally tongue-in-cheek stuff going on here. Like, there are other guys' names who are like Snafu. But yeah, just in the way, like, they'll talk about each other or just introduce themselves as well. Like, I found this one guy, I can't remember his actual name, but he was the Rogue, and he's like, "Ah, I have long heard tales of you, Ranger. Talion the Undead, and now I shall be happy to add to your story." And I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is weird for an orc to be talking like this, but alright, sure. And then I haven't actually met his main character yet, but Kumail Namjiani is actually a side character in the game, but he also does a couple of other orcs, and he did one orc who I just came across, and like he's the commander of a stronghold, and he's like, "So Ranger, I hear you have a problem with all of the orcs, and I'm finding that kind of hard to believe. I mean, maybe like one orc or two orcs, but really, you have a problem with all orcs? That just seems excessive." And I was like, there's no way any orc would talk like this. But yeah, it's pretty fun. The story itself, it just goes crazy. Like I don't really know like who I'm working for. Am I actually fighting for Gondor? Am I doing Celebrimbor stuff? Am I working for Shelob? Like I don't know. Like I'm mostly doing the story so that I can unlock more abilities that will allow me to interact with the orcs more. And that's kind of the more fun part. Because, yeah, I haven't even gotten to the part where I can create my own orc army yet. And that's a major part of the game. So I want to be able to do that and see what kind of weird people I can get in my party. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Sounds good. Sounds hilarious.
Douche. Yeah. And that's all the games we've been playing this week. So let's move on to the ESRB quiz. I'm sorry. Yeah, cool. For those who don't know, new to the program, the ESRB puts out ratings for all the games that come out in the U.S., and they put a descriptor on their webpage detailing why a certain game got a certain ranking or rating. And I take those descriptions, chop them up into four hints from the generic, number four, the most generic hint, and all the way down to number one, the most specific hint. And I'm going to read these off to Jason and see if he can guess the game just from the ESRB description.
Bring it on!
So the only thing I will say is that this game came out in 2010.
Okay.
2010. So okay. Your first hint is number four, most generic. Players use shotguns, pistols, and rifles to kill enemies in realistic gun battles. Blood often spurts out of characters when shot. Headshots and knife attacks result in much larger sprays.
2010, that was PS4 out in 2010?
No.
I didn't think so, yeah. So this has got to be PS3 or PC, possibly Xbox 360. Head
I like
chops.
how you don't. I like how you don't include Wii or Wii U. Well, not
No.
Wii U, but Wii.
No. No, sorry. Yeah, that doesn't count. That's not a thing, Chad. That's not a real thing. You said knife wounds and headshots cause blood spurts?
Cause larger blood spurts.
Larger blood spurts. I'm drawing blank.
All right, drawing a blank is not the correct answer. So we'll move down, see if you can get this for 3 points. More specific now. The game contains a scene in which two characters have sex on a table. There is a brief instance of female nudity. One sequence depicts a man injecting himself with a syringe filled with cocaine. In one sequence, a bloodied and mutilated corpse can be seen hanging from the rafters of a building.
Huh.
Would be Super Mario Brothers Land or Super Mario Land,
Yeah,
yeah.
totally. No, it'd be Paper Mario, right?
Paper
Paper
Mario, yeah.
Mario. No. I'm going to go with one of the Resident Evils,
Resident
whichever one came
Evil.
out in 2010.
Did
I
any
have
of them
no
come out?
idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Resident Evil, the series, is not correct. So let's move on. See if you can get this for 2 points, Jason. Even more
Okay.
specific here. Players have the ability to shoot pedestrians in the game. However, a wanted level penalty system discourages these acts by triggering a law enforcement response.
Oh, you're trying to trick me. This is Driver 3?
It is not Driver 3.
Wow.
So, for 1 point, Jason. This is an open world action adventure game in which players assume the role of blank, a reformed criminal on a mission to capture the remnants of his old outlaw gang.
Oh, Red Dead, Red Dead Revolt, not Redemption, whatever that last word is, Red Dead something or other.
It is Redemption.
Redemption,
Yeah,
okay.
Revolver was the first game. Redemption is the sequel.
Okay.
Right, so yes, Red Dead Redemption came out in 2010. Received.
I thought you were trying to trick me with the GTA thing, because I always say GTA every week, and I'm like, no, Driver.
Well, I mean, yeah, I did kind of trick you. Like, it wasn't Driver or GTA, so there you go.
You got me. You got me, Jay.
Developed and published by Rockstar Games. Came out for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. No, not the Nintendo Wii. Right. Yeah. So there you go. Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out next year. And that's still weird for me.
Only 8 years later.
Yeah, it's Red Dead Redemption 2, which means it's a sequel in number, but it's actually a prequel to Red Dead Redemption. But Red Dead Redemption itself is a sequel to Red Dead Revolver.
So Red Dead Redemption 2 is actually the second game in a trilogy.
Yes.
Huh.
It's Red Dead Revolver. Well, I don't know. It might be different, but I think so. Red Dead Revolver, Red Dead Redemption 2, Red Dead Redemption. Because you can't go past Red Dead Redemption. It was like the end of the cowboy era, like 1914 or something. Like, So, that's that. Now, let's talk about games that are coming out much sooner than Red Dead Redemption 2. Because there are still plenty of those coming out. And one of those games. Oh, wait, I got my dates wrong here. It's the 21st today, so there we go. One of those games is Destiny 2. That's going to be coming out, so I'm sure people are happy about that. I'm just kidding. Destiny 2 is coming out, but for the PC. It's already out for console players. But there you go. No cross cons. Not. No cross-platform play. So, don't look forward to that. If you want to play with me, get the PS4 version, okay? Okay,
Okay.
Jason? All right.
Okay.
Next up, for PS4, we have Hidden Agenda, which is the PlayLink game. I talked about this in our TGS report, which is it's kind of a cooperative game. It's a cooperative narrative, So it's like Until Dawn, but you play with multiple people. And so the story goes, and eventually, every so often it throws a choice to a random player who all the players are using their cell phones to play. It sounds kind of like I'm kind of interested, but also kind of not. Like, it would seem like a novel thing to do once, and that would be about it. So anyway, Just Dance 2018 is coming to everything. PC, Switch, PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Wii, and Wii U. So there you go. Knights of Azure 2, Bride of the New Moon, is coming out for PC, Switch, and PS4. That's in Japan called Yoru no Naikuni. This is the Police is coming to Nintendo Switch. Yomawari Midnight Shadows is coming to PC, PS4, and Vita. That's the sequel to Yomawari, which was a fun little, like, cutesy horror game. I enjoyed it, but it was short. I haven't played the sequel, though, so I don't know about that. Kowloon's Gate VR Suzaku.
Okay.
Coming to PSVR in Japan, not in the States. Assassin's Creed, here comes the big day. The big day is coming on the 27th. Assassin's Creed Origins for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And Super Mario Odyssey for the Nintendo Switch. So all three of those are dropping on the exact same day, which is just terrible. Other than that, we have Air, Memories of Old. Air is spelled A-E-R. I'm not sure what it is. Screenshot doesn't tell me much, and neither does the description. As one of the last few shapeshifters, you are sent on a pilgrimage to the land of the gods. Uncover the secrets that will help save reality itself. All right, thanks. Deer Hunter Reloaded for PS4. Fishing Master for PSVR. Oh, they're trying to get in before that Final Fantasy XV fishing game. smart. Fort Defense North Menace for PS4. Sounds like a tower defense game. The Inner World, The Last Wind Monk. Which also doesn't tell me much via description or image. Guys, you gotta have descriptions here. Like,
Wind Monk, that sounds like Avatar.
It does. Yeah. Knowledge is Power. It shows a lot of weirdly animated figures answer a massive variety of trivia questions. There, at least I know what it's doing. Little Nightmares, the Complete Edition, so that comes with all the DLC. Mahjong Royal Towers is coming to PS4. Can't imagine what that game is.
It's about towers. It's like Tower Tycoon, right?
Actually, I am really interested in this next one. The Mummy Demastered is coming to PS4.
Demastered?
That's right, Demastered. So I forget who makes this. Who is making it? Oh, I need to find out. Developer. So The Mummy Demastered is they're basically making a Metroidvania out of the new, like, the Tom Cruise Mummy movie. But yeah, like, instead of making super high-end graphics games like they typically try to do with these movie tie-ins, they made Demastered, so it's like 16-bit pixel graphics, which are like, it looks really nice, actually. It looks like a lot of care actually went into it, and people are getting interested. But again, I forgot who actually made it, and I'm not finding. Ah, that's right. Okay, that's why it looks great. It's made by WayForward. WayForward also does the Shantae series. So. Anyway, other things that are coming out: Nightmare Boy, coming to PS4, also a Metroidvania. Numantia, is coming to PS4. Units, Heroes, and Battles inspired in real events. inspired by real events. Thank you. Deep narrative linked to the historical evolution of the conflict. Which conflict? Two different campaigns with their own heroes, troops, settlements, and armies. Okay, thank you. Oh, we got more fishing. Rapala Fishing Pro Series coming to PS4. Not to VR, though. That's your loss, buddies. Rugby 18 coming to PS4. SingStar Celebration coming to PS4. If you like to sing, didn't go away. Slayaway Camp The Butcher's Cut. A killer puzzle game where you control Skullface, a psychotic slasher hellbent on revenge.
Okay.
Stunt Kite Masters coming to PSVR. Enjoy a beautiful day at the sunny beach, savor a majestic view on a mountain peak, or feel the thrilling height of a skyscraper at night. More singing. Sure. We Sing Pop is coming to PS4. And that's it. That's it. That's everything. Okay. Yeah. Lots of games. Lots of games. I'm actually really interested in that Mummy Demastered, but it's coming out in the week of Wolfenstein 2 and Assassin's Creed Origins and Super Mario Odyssey, so...
Well, it's coming out on PC, so maybe I'll pick it up.
Maybe. Yeah, I've also got Shadow of War to finish up and Evil Within 2, so I don't know. We'll see what we can get through. But in the meantime, you can go on over to our website at kaijupop.com to check out all of our content, including other podcasts, reviews, news, and stuff like that. You can also check us out on social media websites. We are on youtube.com/kaijupop, as well as twitter.com/kaijupop. Or you can follow us personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
And I am at Gibsaurus.
And we always appreciate when you guys like, watch, listen, subscribe, and do all that with our stuff. And we'll get back to you soon. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
See ya.